Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update. In this edition, I'd like to look at some of the most important variables that influence human performance. What about the many athletes, including even the Olympians, who achieve outstanding performance in spite of consuming low-quality foods and some of the worst diets that I've ever seen? If natural food and optimum nutrition is so important to health and fitness, then how can these high-caliber athletes perform so brilliantly with little regard to the quality of their diet or nutritional supplements? This is my response. They do it in spite of eating junk food, but not for very long, and they pay a big, big price. Anyone can run on empty for a while, especially young people, but eventually even the strongest adrenals will collapse and give way to exhaustion. Although nutrition and whole food is an essential component of health and wellness, an athlete's performance, when analyzed objectively, is determined by several variables. So nutrition is very important, but there are other variables that relate to performance, and now I'd like to discuss them. How about drugs? As we all know, performance-enhancing drugs, which include a wide variety of sophisticated doping agents, are common to the world of sport. Many professional sport organizations don't even test for steroids, and even if they do, exogenous testosterone is easy for most athletes to mask or cycle. So drug testing does not validate all the time whether or not athletes are on drugs. Genetic endowment. Certainly genetics plays a very important role in performance. Among the many natural attributes people are born with, this may include ideal percentages and numbers of type 1 and type 2 muscle fibers, extra tendon length, or superior muscle insertion and origin sites. How about above average height, heavier bone structure, greater lung capacity for improved oxygen uptake? So certainly genetics plays a role, but it's not the only variable. There are still several others. Another one I can think of is youth. The majority of the world's greatest athletes are between the ages of 18 and 28. Children and younger adults can withstand more internal biochemical abuse simply because they haven't lived long enough to have suffered the same degree of oxidative damage as mature adults. In addition, they have a very high organ reserve of micronutrients, a much deeper enzyme bank to draw from. They are less insulin resistant. They have greater artery elasticity, denser bones, higher levels of endogenous hormones, and their metabolism is highly anabolic. But when youth fades, like the flowers in the field, the picture quickly changes. A burning desire to succeed. How important is that to success as an athlete? A personal commitment to win, regardless of the cost, is immeasurably potent and powerful. Desire is the starting point for all achievement. True desire is never satisfied with anything less than fulfillment. It always longs for more and craves nothing but the very best. Another variable that we don't often think about is tolerance to pain. This applies to enduring grueling, harsh workouts, constantly striving for improvement, training through injuries, which is kind of an insanity in itself, and pushing oneself beyond unbelievable pain thresholds. Most people have no idea, unless they've actually done this, to run a marathon, to compete in a triathlon, to perform at the highest possible level, pushing through the pain when every cell in your body is screaming out and telling you to stop. That's when the mind takes over. And that's when the men are separated from the boys. That's when the women are separated from the girls. And that's what makes the difference between the champions and those that finish second, third, and last. Professional coaching is another very important variable. This makes a really big difference, as a good coach provides constructive analysis and technical support, sets high standards of training, motivates the athlete, has the insight to use the psychological edge, and can serve as a respected mentor. There are many times when I've had a sit-down talk with a coach who's my friend, and we've talked about why and wherefore, and exchanged ideas and thoughts about how I could have improved, about how I did a job that was well done, and picked me up when I was low and kept my pride in check. So a good coach is important as a training variable and certainly is an advantage to the competitive athlete. Another variable is advanced training equipment. Technology is providing athletes with the training edge, there's no doubt. Every few months, a new piece or line of equipment is born, developed specifically to maximize strength and power. Another variable is sophisticated sports training protocols. Outdated methods are continuously replaced with a better approach because someone asked the question why, or because science finds a better way. Pilates, Swiss ball, core training, and plyometrics are just a few of the examples of this new technology and this new sophistication that relates to training for sport and preparing for competition. Skill training in itself is another variable. Repetition is the mother of skill, and practice makes permanent. Once you know how to train, you must overcome the mental monotony of doing the same thing over and over again until it becomes automatic and part of you. This principle applies to diet as well. And for most people, the diet part is by far the most difficult. Resistance training. Weight training is now recognized as a cornerstone for all athletic achievement. If two athletes of equal skill, experience, and determination go at each other in combat, the stronger athlete will seldom lose. Because of progressive resistance training methods, athletes, especially female athletes, are definitely bigger, stronger, and faster than they have ever been in the history of sport, and the records speak for themselves. Sport psychology is a very important variable. Combining mental skill with physical ability improves performance. Athletes can set goals, visualize success, apply PMA, positive mental attitude, meditate, work on raising self-esteem, develop a strong mental image, a self-image that is unstoppable. They can also measure themselves in a different light by changing their attitude about themselves and about their environment. And they can also utilize techniques such as hypnotherapy to calm down, to relax, and to visually focus and prepare on what it is exactly that they're doing and why. So, if several or all of these variables are present, it's obviously possible to excel in the short term without the best of foods. But just imagine what could be if every great athlete combined his or her super skill and passion for success with optimum nutrition. This I can say truly without a doubt by meeting and consulting with many retired professional and elite athletes. I have discovered that a great many of them are plagued with chronic inflammation, joint problems, mental and emotional disorders, body composition challenges, and immune system impairment. I believe that many of these conditions are a consequence of inadequate nutrition. They ignored the discipline of nutrition when they were young, and because they pushed themselves to the absolute limit, often with pharmaceutical support, they literally wasted themselves in the process and aged accordingly. My experience as a master's athlete has also confirmed this. Most master's athletes that I have met in competition throughout the world are plagued by the effects of injuries, past knee surgeries, heart disease, varicose veins, back problems, fatigue, and excess body fat. Yet they continue to compete because they love their sport and they can't live without the thought of competing and being involved in their favorite portion of life. Well, that's it for this segment of Sports Nutrition Update. Thanks for listening, and remember, motivation is a function of incentive born out of necessity and desire. It is fueled by enthusiasm, driven by passion, governed by positive emotion, compelled by logic, and sustained by clarity of vision.